for being willing and available.
Good morning, everybody. I just noticed something. When you write your testimony, make sure it's in a bigger type, especially when you're above 50 years of age, because after a while, the type gets to be a little bit more difficult. Brian's told me I have 7 to 10 minutes, so I got the old stopwatch out, and we're starting. All right. How do you do? As Brian said, my name is Michael Roberts. I'm from Montreal originally. As a matter of fact, I lived part of my adolescence here in Verdun. I moved here when I was about 12 years old, and then when I was 16, moved to Gaspé. So Mr. White and I have something in common. We know a little bit of the Gaspé coast. But I'll start at the beginning. I'm from a Catholic non-practicing family. At the best, it was Christmas and Easter, or we used to say C&E. And I remember going to church because I had to. We were in a Catholic school and nuns checked up on us. Yes, I go that far back. We had electricity in our house though. And I remember when I was very young, about 9 or 10, saying to my mom, "Mom, I don't want to go to church anymore. It's a sham." And my mom was a little bit upset. My dad wasn't there because he was a sailor. He was gone 9 to 10 months a year. And she said, like I said, my mother wasn't pleased. But nevertheless, I continued going because my mother said I should go. And there was also that when I would have had a problem sitting down. But it didn't mean that I denied God. It didn't mean that I didn't believe in the God of the Bible or Jesus. That, I don't know why, but just to me, that made sense. Anyways, we'll jump forward to the age of 16. My dad up and decided one day, he was tired with the city, and decided to return to Gaspé. He was from a place called Grand Grave, which is now the National Park Florian. And he said, "Okay, that's it, I'm leaving." And we wound up a little place called Capozo, which means Cape of Bones. I don't know if you know, but when you live on 3rd Avenue and then you go to a little place called Cape of Bones, or Capozo, the social life isn't quite the same. Anyways, I found myself there, and we started fishing, and we started doing fish runs, delivering door-to-door, and I met this woman, and she kind of looked at me, and she said, "He probably needs a little bit of help." You know, she was from Montreal. Her name was Mary Annette Clark. Brian knows her, and she took me under her wing as a younger brother. She's 10 years older than me. Anyway, so going along, she decides one day, well, not really she, God decided, to be saved. And I was always with her, and the pastor who was the pastor of an evangelical church in Gaspé, the only evangelical church in Gaspé for probably about 30 years, was a small Pentecostal church, and I thank God for that. And the pastor there was a pastor named Jacques Lebeuf. He was a French Canadian, loved the Lord, preached in English every Sunday, preached to the flock, and one day he got on to me. He was the kind of pastor who was really a shepherd. He didn't want to see any sheep err in the way. And sure enough, I came to accept the Lord when I was about 17. Now that was easy. The hard part was living it out. I've got to explain something. Gaspé is a nice place, but there are not a lot of Christians. I can remember going to the assemblies there, and there were only 5 or 6 of us. And there were no 16-year-olds. As a matter of fact, there were no 30-year-olds. There were 40-year-olds, a lot of them. Most of the people, there were two couples. One was 50, one was 60. And when you're 16, that's ancient. That's really, really old. Okay, today it's not so old. I know better. And unfortunately, like a lot of young people, after about 6 months, I decided that, nope, this wasn't for me. As a matter of fact, and I will give you the exact quote I said to the pastor. "Jacques, I want to see what the world has to offer." When he asked why I decided to stop going to church, and it's funny, you know, people never say, "I'm going to go see what the world has to offer, but I'm going to stay in the church." You know, sort of like, it's, you know, let's compare one with the other. No, when we decide to go and see what the world has to offer, we usually leave the church. And that's exactly what I did. Yeah, okay. And unfortunately, I did see what the world had to offer. I won't go into details. It's not very edifying. As a matter of fact, it's not edifying at all. I still had people praying for me, Mary, Clark, Annette, and some of the friends from Gaspé, Christians that didn't give up on me even after all those years. And I know that the Lord was looking after me. Why? Because there were times when I should have been dead. I'm not joking. There were times when I should have been killed from the stupid things I did. And like I said, I'm not going to go into it, and I won't talk about it in front of my kids, ever. But God was good. He was gracious. Jump forward 8 years. I've been away from the Lord now for 8 years. And unfortunately, there were times when I could have said, I accepted the Lord, but I didn't, and I hid. No bravery there, eh? I got to admit it. I'm almost 25 now. I'm living in Montreal. I moved back. I left Gaspé when I was 20, almost 22. It's January, February, and during that time I got laid off from my job. The times, economic times were hard, and I had time on my hands. So a couple of friends of mine who had just bought a house said, Mike, how would you like to help us renovate it? They said, we can't pay it, but we can feed you. Hey, when you're 24 years old, anybody can feed you, go for it. So I said, okay, fine. Little did I know how the Lord was going to work. These two people were Christians. Now, guess what happens when you're in a house and you're painting and the other guy is a Christian and he's a deacon and he's an evangelist. What do you think we talk about? The Canadians? No. First of all, I'm not a hockey fan. No, he started witnessing to me. But here's the hard part. What do you do when you're witnessing to somebody and he keeps agreeing with you? All right? Yeah, I believe in Jesus. I believe you can be saved. And then they looked at me and says, well, what's stopping you? But the thing was, I didn't want to give in. I'm the master of my life. I'm the person saying what to do. Nobody's going to, not tell me, but nobody's going to guide me. I'm making all the decisions. Well, guess what? I think the Lord sometimes has ways of breaking us down. Finally, after several weeks of working in the house and seeing these friends and that, they invited me to church. I said, okay, fine, I'll go. It was a French church, though. Now, I don't know if you... I'm English. I'm English in Montreal, and I never, ever sang a song in French in my life. I could sing a little bit of Conception back then. That's from Rabat Charlebois, but otherwise, a hymn. So anyways, we go to this church. It's over in Nowegate. And I can remember saying, oh boy, these songs are boring, you know. Then they got out, it's an old hymn book called Les Ailes de la Foi, The Wings of Faith. Pastor Fish is going, yeah, I know that one. Well, guess what? They started singing number 15, Seigneur que neige mille voix. And the men were singing, the women were answering, and I swear, I was transported. It was beautiful, simply beautiful. And I said, yep, these people have got it together. And so I continued going. And then the next thing you know, I'm not just going on Saturday, on Sundays, I'm going on Wednesday. Now here's the thing, the pastor would be preaching a full 45 minutes on Wednesday. Me figuring, hey, it's not Sunday, it must be like, you know, training or teaching. So I put up my hand, what does that mean? And to the man's credit, he'd answer me. He wouldn't say, Mike, this is a sermon. No. He'd give me the answer. Because why? Because he knew that I didn't know what he was talking about. Don't forget, we all have an evangelical language. And once you know the terms, you start speaking like that. And then the new people who don't know the Lord, people who are not used to the evangelical language go, what is he talking about? Sanctification and then glorification, the whole nine yards. Anyways, he started answering my questions. Well, one night I realized, God, I've really screwed up. I really have screwed up. My life is not what I'd hoped it would be, really. And I decided that was it. I give the Lord control of my life. I realized I was a sinner. I realized that a long time ago. I also realized that He had to control my life. Now, I was a reluctant Christian. I don't like giving in control. Some people would say I'm a control freak. That's not quite true. Well, a little bit. But I did give in. Fast forward. There are choices sometimes that haunt us and choices that make us suffer. I had just moved to Montreal West. It was 1982 and there were not a lot of jobs around. I had $5 left in my pocket. It was Monday evening. I had supper.
I had $3.15, and that was it. Nothing in the fridge. No job, sitting in my apartment alone. I prayed and I sang. I got out the guitar and I sang a couple of hymns. And I was wondering, I hope that that unemployment check was going to come in, because I was receiving unemployment on Friday. 10:30 at night, I got a phone call. Nobody phones at 10:30 at night. It was one of the chaps who I'd met when I was working before, and he owns a small repair company for burners and boilers, which I used to work in, saying he needed a man, would I be interested? 10:30 at night, $3.15 in your pocket for the next 4 days, what do you think? Yes, I jumped at it immediately. And to his credit, he helped me out. He advanced me money when I hadn't worked for him very long, so I could buy food, tools, and I thank God for that. By the way, the check never came on Friday for the unemployment. 8 months later, my employer decided to go to Europe for 6 weeks with his family. The only problem was he forgot to give me a paycheck. So, fine. I had a little bit of savings left, but I knew it wouldn't last. And when I finally did all of the accounting, I had a shortfall of $337.39. And there was no way I was going to find it. Like I say, how we forget our Father's seeing eyes. Remember that unemployment check? Well, guess what? The government finally found it. It had gotten lost in a computer somewhere. And guess how much the amount was for? I was hoping I wouldn't get emotional. The amount was for exactly $337.39. Miracles happen, and sometimes we don't even recognize them. To quote something I read by John Piper just lately, God is doing 10,000 things in your life, and you can only see three of them. During the time I spent at the church in Nogay, 27 years to be exact, I met a very young lady. Who I married. We had 2 children. And I held the position of deacon, taught Sunday school, preached. Worked on the console for approximately 25 years. And have been blessed. Was greatly blessed. And all through it, God has given me guidance. And I'm going to say something right now. Did I always see his hand? No. Did I always do his will? No. And sometimes when things didn't go my way, and I'd say, why? Why? A month or two later, or sometimes longer, but things would happen, and we'd see, my wife and I, that if I'd gotten my way, it wouldn't have worked out. And God guided. God guided us through good times, bad times, hard times. But he's always been there. I want to thank you very, very much. I just want to say something. Don't give up. When the going gets tough, don't give up. Sometimes you're going to turn around and you're going to say, where's God? He's there. Don't give up. Thank you.
Just so amazing how God works, right? We didn't have that baptism, but